This is the best of Golic and Wingo podcast.
He's got 99 problems. A snack is one. It's Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. I'm proud of that. Jason Pitts in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic Jr. It took 30 seconds on the over-under from Mike Jr. to be just absolutely displeased with me this morning. I think we're on record pace. But we got life in the bubble, gentlemen, and it took what, a couple of days before we started to see a little bit of unrest. And now we've got so a lot of positives. Only two players out of 322 in the bubble have tested positive for COVID-19. That's the good news. The bad news is now we have a player that's quarantined because of a snack.
Yeah, and I don't know if unrest would be the word. You know, the dude, one guy tried to get a snack, another guy left his hotel room when he thought he could and he couldn't. So those are the two that we're gonna get into about crossing the bubble lines. And when you cross the bubble lines, it is going to cost you. It's not going to cost you financially yet. When the games start, it can cost you financially. Right now, it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you up to 10 days. And that's what, if anybody doesn't know, that's what the Kings' Rashawn Holmes did. He ordered food. He simply ordered food. The food was delivered. And for him to go get the food, he stepped over the imaginary line in the bubble that you can't step over. He did it, acknowledged he did it. And now he has to spend up to 10 days quarantined. So he's got to be away from his team for up to 10 days for whatever food that was going to be. And I'm sure at some point we will, because that's just what we do. And, of course, we'll have a social media question for it.
Well, and I look at all this and I go, all right, you know what? That happened in that situation. I doubt the food was something so special that he couldn't live without. He got chastised by his own mom on Twitter, who said the only thing you crossed the line for is your mom's home cooking, which clearly this wasn't in this situation. Kelly Oubre seems to be the culprit at the beginning of this. It was out here on Twitter encouraging his peers that using Postmates was something that was going to be okay in this. Maybe not so. Maybe we need to reimagine this one or revisit that policy in that. So I would consider this and chalk this one up to be a learning experience. The same goes with Bruno Caboclo from the Rockets, who left his room during the 48-hour window at the beginning of all this,
right,
that you've got to quarantine in. So while the NBA can communicate everything very clearly, and I'm sure they believe they have done so, there are always going to be people that test that and test the listening and test the comprehension and all this, and maybe just miss something as it goes along.
Right.
And all
not,
this.
Not test the rules in a bad way, but like you said, just don't listen enough and understand the rules.
You're used to moving about a little bit right. more freely, and so you butt up against the rules, and people see now, oh, okay, this is serious. There are going to be repercussions on this one. Like you said, thankfully, they're not financial yet.
I think it's hysterical that you mentioned Kelly Oubre Jr. He tweeted out a couple of days ago, and this is the tweet, to all my NBA bros, Postmates delivers to the hotel. You just have to go out and meet the delivery person at the hotel entrance. Security will not hold the food for you or help you. Yeah, the food whack here, but we're here for a bigger purpose. Hope that helps. Hashtag shh. And then he quote tweeted the statement from Rashawn Holmes saying, I inadvertently stepped over the line with, never mind, LOL. So, Kelly Oubre, like, maybe they're setting traps for each other. We're like, hey, guys, guess what? DoorDash. Hey, LeBron, you hungry? Like, come on. Like, they're trying to get somebody out there.
I was going to say, LeBron's going to have Dion Waiters telling everybody, hey, this is where you can get out, actually. I met some nice girls over here. There's a great restaurant over this way, all right outside the bubble, but you can get there through this door.
I wonder if the snitch line has been used yet. And for those that may not know, there is an actual phone line you can call if you see somebody breaking one of the rules of the bubble. You can actually call this line and snitch on them.
Would you guys, like, because this has been alarming to me. I hear snitch line and I think, oh, nobody's going to use that. But so many of the guys I've talked to that are former athletes are like, oh, heck yeah, if it can give us a competitive advantage. And I see somebody like, if you guys, when you were playing, if you saw one of your key opponents, like, you know, maybe exercising a little bit too much of his own free will outside the bubble, you calling? You snitching?
No, I wouldn't. I would like to think I would to give myself the advantage, but I don't think I would.
I would say I wouldn't for those reasons, but the moral obligation to the rest of the bubble, like not wanting to compromise the system, is a weird thing that, like, because I sit here, my immediate reaction is I ain't no snitch.
No,
like,
right,
that's
right.
Like that's not a thing I want to be
what
about.
You could be saving here possibly,
and that's the worry in all this, is keeping the main thing, because we have all of this on one side. We've got this. We had our first apparent attempt at a bubble fly-in that got aired out on Twitter. So The snitch line is not needed when you have some of the people involved going out here on social media and going viral for tweets. So we've got all that on one side. And at Golic and Wingo, what's the fast food meal that you're willing to risk it all for going outside the bubble?
What is the meal?
Because I immediately thought Wendy's Frosties. So that was just the first menu item I thought of.
Yeah, because you're thinking too small. I mean, we got to go more. Like, I need the meal. But let me just be clear. If I'm sitting in my hotel room, and I know that it's a 10-day quarantine.
Could be up to 10-day quarantine.
Up to 10 days, you got to sit in your room. I want to say that I can resist anything, but all Wendy's really has to do is send me you up, and I'm headed out the door. Like, I'm flying down the hallway because, like, junior bacon cheeseburger fries and a Frosty. Oh, yeah. Like, that's worth 10 days.
I was a triple and a Frosty growing up. Probably why I was a lineman.
Honestly, I was going to say, I'd be hurting the Taco Bell late night menu.
Yeah. So there you go. At Golic and Wingo, what fast food meal is worth you crossing the line like Rashawn Holmes did? And now, again, up to 10 days, he has to be sequestered. So we have a couple of guys. Now, again, so on the positive, listen, everybody's going to have their fun with this, you know. But on the positive side, once they're in the bubble, there have been, as you mentioned, Jason, 322 tests and just two positives. I mean, that's the whole idea of this bubble, which has been called a mesh hat at times because it's not a complete bubble with workers coming in and out of there. But that's a pretty good number for being in a bubble.
And that was what I was going to ask you guys was, are you more encouraged by that or discouraged by the other things that you heard?
No.
I think I'm far more encouraged by the two positive tests since they arrived.
Way more encouraged. I mean, these weren't guys trying to sneak out to do something. These were guys that made mistakes. Listen, as an athlete, you know this, Mike. Well, Jason, you do too on tour. I mean, you live on an itinerary. Players always live on an itinerary and rules that you have to follow. With the itinerary come the rules associated with it that every athlete is used to. You know, you have to be here, you have to be here, you can't go there, you have this time to be there, you can't be there after this time. Now, it is different. You're getting a complete different set of rules as a pro athlete that you're not used to when you go into a bubble that a couple of guys misinterpreted or got wrong or didn't listen to well enough and got busted for it. But I am way more encouraged by the fact that we're just too positive. You look on the social media, the guys are out playing golf, they're fishing. Luke, I just caught a nice bass out there. As I said, I'd be out there fishing. They're out there doing their thing. Now, just like we talked about before the show, remember when this quarantine first started, everybody was having the Zoom parties and hey, this is, wow, okay, thinking like,
let's do the push-up challenge, stay home challenge,
and then
a week or
2 weeks into it where everybody started going, you know, looking at one another. So we're in the beginning of the bubble. Guys are out playing cornhole. Guys are out fishing. Guys are out golfing. Nobody's going to the DJ party except for Dwight Howard. But guys are doing stuff, you know. They're out there. And as we said, we never said that the bubble was going to be a prison. They have things to do. A couple guys messed up. They now see everybody else is going to see, oh, this is real, especially if you mess up when games start. Because we're not even at the games yet. 10-day quarantine in a shortened schedule. And I know these aren't name guys right here. Boy, you get a name guy in that, and all of a sudden your team, you're going, uh-oh, this ain't good for us.
Well, and I think it's important, though, to make the distinction, because what we also saw yesterday was a lot of reaction to the idea that on the testing in the way into the bubble, Russell Westbrook from the Houston Rockets tested positive for that. And seeing a big-time name, like you said, one of the marquee players, testing positive, people immediately hit the nerve and started to freak out about this. But I think the markedly more important number on this is the two positive tests now that you've entered the bubble. Because if you can start to make sure that that part is under control now that everyone is on site there, or when everyone is on site, it shows a lot better chance of being able to make this thing work long term, and that's the NBA's concern.
Golic and Wingo presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. And Mike, you're totally right. I think every positive test that they find before someone gets into the bubble is actually a huge win for everybody because they caught it before anybody gets in there. And again, what you've got now are the Kings, Rashawn Holmes. He'll be in quarantine for 10 days as a result of violating the rule for stepping out for the food. Also, Bruno Caboclo from the Rockets inadvertently left his room during the first 48-hour window. So he now has violated the rules, and it will cause him more time.
Golic and Wingo.
It was all sort of one big giant jello mold. It's very interesting where that went.
We've all had a day or a night where, you know, maybe for no particular reason, you're just so snacky that, my God, you just need to have some sort of little munchie delivered to your house.
No particular reason.
We asked you at Golic and Wingo, what food, fast food meal would you cross the line for? And the first response we got was Whataburger's taquitos.
Of all, taquitos are great though.
Yeah, but like from Whataburger, like I mean, yeah. It's not called What a Taquito, it's called Whataburger. Like, are the taquitos good at Whataburger?
I have a Whataburger story that I'll save for another time. But because we have want to get to Bobby Marks here.
Because we got company. We got to stop talking about guzzling fast food under the influence. Yeah.
Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. And you mentioned it. Let's head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. Bobby, let's be honest here, all right? It's just us talking, right? You can let your guard down a little bit. As a former front office executive, what is the food that, like, you call Rashawn and you're like, you did what? And he says, I had to go pick up delivery. I got said item delivered. What is the food that you'd actually, as a front office guy, nod and say, yeah, Rashawn, I get it?
I'd probably say a pork roll, egg, and cheese.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Great choice.
I think I would, if he told me it was chicken McNuggets, I would probably say, I don't know if it's worth it. But, yeah, I think probably where these guys are right now, and, you know, I think what's coming out of the bubble and every guy is learning the rules that come with it. I think it's a little bit different than what we heard yesterday in the morning with Bruno Capallo from the Rockets, who basically just left quarantine, right? Didn't realize it was 48 hours, and somewhere at that 24-hour mark, just left his room and now had to go back to quarantine for 10 days. Where with Rashawn, he didn't know, I guess, that he couldn't step over that line to grab that bag of food there.
Wow. I mean, that is incredible. So we have that, and these are, I guess you want to call them, honest mistakes. We also have found out, since being inside the bubble, 322 tests have gone on and just 2 positives. So overall, I know we're a short time into this bubble, but Bobby, to you, does it seem to be working well?
It does. And I've said all along that I thought the stretch of days when the players arrived starting on July 7th to when they got out of quarantine, you know, I think the Lakers were the last team on the 11th. That was going to be the kind of the tell-all sign, because, you know, we had 320-plus players coming from a lot of different markets here, and who was testing positive when they got to Orlando, how the league was going to deal with the quarantine process. As the press release said, there was 2 players that did test positive inside that quarantine. They were not allowed out of the quarantine. I think one player was actually sent home. And the other player is in isolation. So I think the big test is going to be when we start getting the players like Russell Westbrook, like James Harden, who have not arrived yet, when we start seeing families arrive in early September. That's a different component there from a quarantine standpoint. So, yeah, I would say, you know, compared to where MLS is, and we've seen a lot of high tests, I would say, you know, two players out of 300-plus is a really good sign right now.
Bobby, I'm curious. We obviously know that this comes with a quarantine. I don't even want to call it a penalty. It's a protocol from the league, but when games start, there'll be a financial hit from that. You would miss whatever that version of the game check is. Is there anything else from the team side that would go on, whether it's discipline or just in general policies that individual teams might have relative to this inside the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, if it's, you know, for this incidents with Holmes, you know, because there's really not a financial penalty because we're still before the seeding games. Yeah, I mean, I think Sacramento, if they wanted to, could probably fine him for missing practice. I don't think they're going to do that there. When we get playing, you know, as I said yesterday, it's about 1% per game. His penalty would have been about $50,000 per game. It would have been about $400,000. And once the league levies the fine, the team can't kind of, you know, come in second and do something financially. It's, you know, that fine is in itself, and the fine is basically the same as if a player had opted out of Orlando, like we saw with Trevor Ariza, Avery Bradley. But you know, with Holmes, he just couldn't provide services. But we'll see what happens when we get, and hopefully when we get to start playing on July 30th, we're not going to see, you know, situations like this.
Golic and Wingo brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant. Don't have time to wax your car? 303 Touchless Sealant. Quick, easier solution. Simply spray on, rinse off. It's that easy. Get ultimate protection and shine in minutes that lasts up to 6 months. Now available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. Visit 303radio.com for more info. It's Golic and Wingo. Jason Fitz in for Trey with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. And we're talking to ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. Bobby, you mentioned Avery Bradley. We know, obviously, that the Lakers were able to fill that roster spot, but they lose Rondo with a broken thumb. That's not as easy for them. So what do the Lakers do now?
Yeah, we're going to see plenty of Alex Caruso, probably. I think the good thing for the Lakers is that, you know, and as you said, Rondo, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, that gets you back probably somewhere in the second round. The interesting thing with Rondo is that when he comes back, he's going to have to go through the quarantine process himself, because the likelihood is that, you know, he will go home back to probably Los Angeles and have the surgery. I don't see that happening down here in Orlando. So that you add another, you know, week on to that timetable. So the good thing, as I said, is that you've got 3 exhibition games. You've got 8 seeding games. You'll have a first-round series. We'll see who it is. If it's Portland, I think the Lakers could potentially have their hands full to kind of have Frank Vogel figure out what type of lineup that you are going to put out there. You know, LeBron has primarily the ball in his hands most of the game there, but you're going to need a second ball handler. And I think, you know, now it's on, you know, now J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters goes from probably an insurance policy that you probably will see one of those two players with some type of extended minutes.
Is there a lower seeded team in either conference that you could see making a run?
You know, Mike, I think if the Lakers were not the one seed, I would have said Portland. Portland reminds me a lot of when I was in New Jersey, we played Indiana in the first round in 2002, and we were the one seed. They were the 8th seed, but they had Reggie Miller, and they had Ron Mercer and Jermaine O'Neal. I look at Portland with Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum. Now you get Jusuf Nurkić back, and you have Zach Collins. We'll see what happens with the work with Carmelo. I think they're probably going to play him at the 3 a little bit here. They intrigue me a lot, but as I said, A, they've got to get through Memphis, who is an 8 right now, and you also have New Orleans. But if you do, now you've got the Lakers kind of staring at you. So they intrigue me from that component, but I think for everyone, I think it's got to be Philadelphia. I mean, I know, you know, are they a lower seeding? Probably in that 5 to 6 range, but I'm just interested as far as, you know, where this chemistry is going to be. I saw the reports yesterday that they're experimenting with Ben Simmons at 4, which is intriguing. I think that's maybe his natural position. And, you know, and now we don't really have home court because these games are neutral. And this team, as you know, was not very good on the road this year.
As always, Bobby, we appreciate your expertise. Man, stay safe down there. We really appreciate you joining us. And we'll work on getting you those rolls. I mean, whatever we can do to get the pork rolls to you.
Wow, that's really good.
Well, you know, it depends on where in New Jersey you're from. If pork roll, I think it's exit 120 and below. And I think it's Taylor Ham for the north where I grew up. So,
wow. I was going to say, one of the great cultural divides that exists up in the northeast in that area. Wow. So, thanks, awesome. Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, guys.
And I didn't expect that answer.
I didn't
Bobby.
Either.
That would surprise me.
Again, at Golic and Wingo, we asked you, what fast food are you willing to risk it all for leaving the bubble? Because, as we said, Rashawn Holmes of the Kings ordered some takeout food, and he crossed that bubble line and now has to be quarantined for another 10 days. Michael tweets in, a Bojangles 4-piece supreme with fries and sweet tea.
That might be up there. One of my thoughts was Raisin Cane's. Like, if you could just give me like a gallon jug of cane sauce would ease a lot of the ills. Because that's the thing you got to be smart about inside the bubble is, yeah, I understand the food might not be the best, but you can, I mean, sauce is literally there to sweeten the pot in a lot of these instances or spice it up. I mean, depending on
what sauce
you go with.
I guess that would be the thing is order something that can last, not the food, but like the sauce like that as well. Man, because some people are going to cross the line for some really interesting things. Ed basically says, hotel coffee is stale, so I'm going for some good fresh dark roast. I mean, that's what you're going to quarantine for, some coffee.
Boy,
wow.
And that's going to get stale.
I'd have rather brought a coffee grinder in and had some great beans and brought them with me and made my own. That might have been the thought process.
Well, and remember, there was a great article done on the NBA that is pervasive in the NBA locker room culture, is having a coffee guy, having that around because, and especially in the bubble right here, the way your schedule is going to go and how concise everything's going to be and how different, being alert like that, there are some coffee snobs that have popped up in the NBA that will have someone on the staff bring a grinder, bring a French press, bring things to help make that.
That's
so
amazing.
It is something that is kind of like the wine culture that crept into the NBA with LeBron and the banana boat guys.
There's a coffee culture
that's also found its way into the league.
I mean, think about when quarantine started. Like, one of the first things, when I realized I couldn't get out, one of the first things I realized I was going to have have to do was get a coffee maker.
My God, Jason called me and was, he didn't ask me questions. He was clearly just trying to rationalize for himself, buying this one expensive-ish coffee maker that was making him uncomfortable.
But let me tell you, I like, even to this day now, it's my new habit. Like, I got a Ninja coffee maker that does, like, hot coffee, cold, does iced tea, does all of it. Like, I am obsessed with it now. So it's saving me money.
I'm amazed where we are, what I'm seeing from, like, you and your brother and sister. Sydney's boyfriend, Ben, I've watched him. He told me his process of how he makes cold brew. I mean, it's an art form what all you guys are doing when I just, you know, give me a hot cup of Joe, man. That's it. I mean, I guess.
Listen, I'm not above that, but if you've got the opportunity to maybe treat yourself on occasion, I see nothing wrong
with
that.
So is this your, if you have the opportunity to stunt with a good coffee?
It might be just that, because on the other side, you can get the other version of this. Like, back to what we talked about here, our former colleague Jamel Hill tweeted about this subject. She said, I lived in Orlando for 7 years. You guys are going to be real disappointed to find out when he risked it all for a Longhorn Steakhouse visit. Like,
oh my gosh. That,
so, I mean, at least if you're treating yourself with coffee, that's the idea. Maybe you can justify it saying, oh, he went for something luxury. He got, like, takeout from Ruth's Chris delivered or something here instead of, you know, what it likely was.
We don't know what it was. Another person tweets in, double cheese Whataburger with jalapenos.
Whataburger's so, got it. So, like, Whataburger and, you know, it's like a fixture in Texas, right? Everybody's got to be obsessed
my
with
first,
it.
My first got drafted by the Houston Oilers. One of my first times down there. Went out and, you know,
tied one on.
There you go. And did the old late call Whataburgers. And I mean, wretched. And it wasn't Whataburger's fault. It was how I was feeling. But I wretched for hours. And I've never had, this was like 1986.
Oh, no.
And I've never had Whataburgers again. The mere thought of passing one, and again, it's not their fault. It was my state that I was in. And it happened to be that food and the mixture did not work. And it was like projectile. It was awful. I could never go there again.
Irish car bombs for me.
Irish car bombs.
Yeah, it's alcohol.
No, I know what it is.
I will tell you this. Like, I love seeing people joyful. There's nothing more predictable in country music than when you play in Texas and you know that Whataburger is going to be the after show food. And just seeing, like, I never really cared that much, but, like, just knowing that you walk up on the bus and there's Whataburger made so many guys so happy that, like, that's all I think about is the rejoicing.
That was us when we would play out at USC every year. USC or Stanford, you knew In-N-Out was going to be ready for you on the bus before I realized that it was, like, 75% hype.
Oh, my God.
75 is being, that's being kind to it.
Change the subject. Right now,
I'd always take the junior bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's over it. Anyway, we'll quickly, like, our producers have been telling us to get back to sports.
Who cares?
Go look at Wingo.
14 days.
ESPN Radio. ESPN. I got nothing. I'm Jason Fitz. He's my Golic. He's my Golic Junior. All right. So I want to get a little bit of your thoughts, Golic, particularly because your NFL mind here is you have a different level of perspective. First and foremost, let's play a little of what Adam Schefter said, ESPN NFL insider, on SportsCenter yesterday about the call between the union and the league.
It was a heated discussion, and there's really two buckets of conversations. There's one that's financially driven, and there's one that involves health and safety protocols. Those are the two topics of conversations. They did not settle anything, I'm told, on that call today. Those conversations will continue. I heard you mention the two preseason games. Remember, there's still a joint committee that thinks there should be no preseason games. There is still a lot that has to be decided. You have the Texans and Chiefs scheduled to report to training camp on July 25th. There are unresolved financial issues, health and safety issues, a lot for both sides to get through, and they're trying to go through it now, and the clock is ticking.
You know, when you sit here and look at things, some of the things you're looking at, you're talking about lost revenue. So you're talking about that 35% of salary in escrow to kind of be held toward next year.
Well, in case the league doesn't hit its financial goals for the season, when you're a revenue split sport, that tends to be some version of that happens, a holdover on salary. So if it's on the low end, you pay back
this
the
happens.
Owners.
This happens. So it's just a matter of figuring out what percentage you want to give up. Because it's exactly what Mike said. You're in a salary cap business, or I should say you're in a revenue sharing business. This is what you do. So now it's just a matter of finding that number. As far as health and safety, it's going to be all about testing, which is, again, way different than the bubble in the WNBA. It's more along the lines of, as I said, could there be a template in baseball? Because baseball and football are doing exactly the same thing. You're working out at your place, and you're going to travel to all your games. So you look at templates. It's going to be the amount of testing, who's getting tested, how many times you're getting tested. That's an important thing there.
Well, no, I was gonna ask you in all this. What else?
So
you got?
Go ahead.
I got a question for you when you're done.
So then there's the testing protocols that you need. Then there's going to be roster sizes. And I get it. You usually start with 90 players in camp. Now, do you want all those players in camp? That's more tests to give out. It's more people. Now, when you're doing camp, you're going to be in one spot, but it's but having the outside influences in. Who's all getting tested? There are people that work at camp. Is everybody getting tested? Kind of like there with the NBA, that's a comparison I would make. It's not a pure bubble because people are coming into it and leaving it and coming back. So who are all the variable people that are going to be around us in camp, and are they getting tested, or are we still going to come in around contact with them? And what kind of situation will that be? And then there's the roster size that we're going to have. Because I was a 10th rounder, so I'm always thinking about the large roster, not just the top guys. What's the expanded roster going to be? There's the practice squad of usually 10, but they were going to, I think, increase it to like 14. It's going to have to be increased by more than that because of the positive tests you're going to have. And it's going to have to be increased by veteran players, not just by rookies. You can't just fill all your slots with first-year guys. So that's going to have to get looked into. The whole preseason game, my God, I could care less about that. I honestly could care less about that. I'll go play a preseason game. I don't care. You know, normally the starters don't play that much anyway. Now, will the coaches make the starters play a little more because there's less, because you're not allowed to practice with another team, which I think is some of the best things you can do, is do that 3-day practice with another team coming to your facility, but you can't do that now. So now you're talking about no preseason games and just trying to practice. I mean, my God, at some point I need to prepare to play football. Okay, and I can't just sit around in shells and, you know, just my shells on and get ready for a season. You need to hit some. As bad as that may sound to players out there who don't want to hit or don't want to practice, you know, hard and hit, you got to hit some. You got to practice some to get ready for games.
Well, and I don't know if necessarily hitting is what's at stake here, because I want to ask you, because the things that are at stake on this are about getting ready and feeling prepared and what yes. players need, because I'm separating, like, there are still things that have to be worked out with emergency protocols for all this one. How many tests would trigger a shutdown? Things like that that are less negotiable, but the testing is a point of discrepancy. There are things that need to be set. Those aren't two of them in my mind. I look at this and say, testing. The NFLPA wants right. daily testing. The league wants every other day
right.
on that. The NFLPA wants to eliminate the preseason. The NFL wants two preseason games. The NFLPA wants a longer lead-up period to those first preseason games. So the acclimatization period, being able to get ready, like you said there, and obviously the escrow split, and then the opt-outs. The ability, if you don't feel comfortable going into this, or you have a medical reason, to opt out of the season and what comes with that. So I'm asking you, as someone who was a guy in a union for a long time, a guy who was a part of a lockout and all these different things, when you look at that list of things that the PA's got left, because there's going to be another call today now, because that call yesterday got kind of spicy. What of those things do you look at and say, those are the most important to me?
Well, the most important things to me are testing, are how much you're going to test and who you're going to test. I'm using the preseason games kind of as my negotiating chip. I'll play those. Again, I don't care about those. I'll play them. So I'll give that up to get something back.
Even if it means a lower ramp-up time getting up to the season.
You have normally 4 preseason games. You start training camp, go all the way until the would be the last 2 preseason games. That's your ramp up time. Instead of those first 2 preseason games or 4, you spend those extra couple of weeks just ramping up. Then you play one preseason game, 2 preseason games, and start the season. That to me is a negotiating thing. Use that to give that back to get something else, as far as I'm concerned. But testing, I'll get to more of those as well. We have more time. But testing is going to be the number one thing to me.
And the only reason I can think of the league wouldn't want to test every day is cost, essentially. So we'll see how it breaks down.
Golic and Wingo.
It was all sort of one big giant jello mold. Very interesting where that went.
I constantly say that the plan to return is just that. It's a plan. And at some point, we have to remember that every league is going to have a conversation with their players association, with the union, and the players involved in that. And it's at that point that we see how real these plans are, how executable the plans truly are. Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN News Series XM, Channel 80. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance.
I always, in my 9 years in the league, always had to hear from the player rep from the team, because that player rep was always involved in the phone calls, and then you would hear it from them. I was never in a position to be, you know what was going on in the phone call. That's why it's so good to have guests like we have coming up that kind of knows what goes on in these phone calls.
When you have one player rep for the team, do you constantly wear that person out with little things you want to unearth?
Well, the unfortunate thing, and yeah, I said this before, you know, years ago, and I don't know where it is now. Our next guest can maybe tell us that when he's in the locker rooms. There was, unfortunately, a lot of apathy. A lot of guys would sit in that room, and the player rep would be talking to you. I definitely was that union guy. Hell, when we struck in 87, I got caught on, you know, all the news channels throwing rocks at the buses with the replacement players coming in, you know, so I was trying to pick up all the union stuff. But guys, there would be apathy there, and you would just kind of say, okay, whatever our player rep says, that's what we're going to do. And that's where I think guys just, they need to have that information and really kind of be able to digest it themselves.
Well, let's talk to somebody now that's part of the NFL Players Association, but no better than most. Sam Acho joins us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. Obviously, former Texas linebacker. Sam, thanks so much for the time. There was a call yesterday. What can you tell us about the call between the Players Association and the league yesterday?
Yeah, well, thank you all for having me. The call didn't make too much progress, but we didn't expect to make too much progress. The player stance is and will be our main concern is player safety. And the ownership stance, it seems as if their stance is more about making money. And so the way we see it, we're not going to compromise making money versus player safety. Yes, players want to play football, but at the same time, the risk cannot outweigh the reward.
And so, Sam, I'm curious what the biggest items are on the to-do list from the NFLPA side. We know that safety certainly has on-the-field components, but now during a time with a global pandemic, there's obviously a testing element to it. So what are the goals at this point that are probably most important to the PA?
Well, the most important goal is having a system in which we understand the threshold of when games will get canceled or when practices will get canceled. As of now, the only system is a commissioner who gets to decide by his own standard if and when anything gets canceled, no matter how many outbreaks there are. And that, for us, it's not acceptable. There needs to be minimum guidelines saying if this many people have COVID, if this many teams, as they start to practice, they play against each other. That's the main issue. Another issue is the preseason games. We have a team of doctors, jointly decided medical professionals, both by the NFL and NFLPA, that have said that there needs to be somewhat of a 6-week on-ramp into playing games. And so the NFL kind of postured as if they wanted us to come early, but then obviously we've seen the cases rise, and now they're saying that preseason games are acceptable, even though the team of doctors said it probably isn't the best idea to play 4 or even 2. And so we're still trying to get a great reason from the NFL why we should play 2 games. For us, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's too risky.
Sam Acho joining us here. And just so you know, we've had a lot of players on, commissioners on from the other leagues, and there doesn't seem to be that answer anywhere that we've gotten of a number of positive tests triggers the cancellation of something. You guys are certainly not alone in that. It always seems to be a we'll know it when we see it kind of a situation. And unfortunately, I don't think people are really comfortable with that situation a lot. As far as where the negotiating goes from here, as far as reporting, when is everybody still reporting supposedly on July 28th, or is all that on hold until you guys can work out whatever negotiations are needed to be worked out?
Yeah, well, a lot of that is really up in the air. It's funny, I have a book coming out in the fall. It's called Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes. And you can find it at sammachobook.com. But in that book, there's a chapter titled Bargaining with Billionaires. It talks about some of the CBA negotiations I was a part of over the last few years. And those negotiations started off a lot like this one started off. The NFL essentially saying to the NFLPA that a lot of the stances that you're starting at are non-starters. And anytime you have one group saying to another group that you're having a non-starter, it's telling the other group that you don't want to come back to play. And if our players aren't safe and if we're putting each other at a lot of risk, it's hard to see us getting back to that July 28th start date. As of now, that date is still penciled in, but as I mentioned, it's a pencil. It's not a pen.
We're talking to Sam Acho, former Texas linebacker, NFL free agent, and a member of the NFL Players Association. And Acho, I want to go back to a word you used earlier. Where's the line for cancellation? In the mind of the Players Association, when you say cancel, are you meaning cancel the game as an entirety versus postponement versus forfeiture, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, what I think is I think the season should be postponed. I don't think, especially looking at cases in Texas and in Florida and all these different states where corona is on the rise, I think it'd be very difficult to start a football season on time. And so when the NFL says, number one, we're going to play, and number two, we're going to have two preseason games, even though it hasn't been, there's no medical reason as why we should have two over zero. And number three, we have no measure, right? We're talking about other leagues. Other leagues have bubbles. The NBA, WNBA, they're in bubbles. Other leagues have bubbles. They have ways to isolate themselves. The NFL doesn't. The NFL roster is 90 guys, maybe 100 if you include guys on the IR when you start the preseason. Yes, there's been conversation of cutting that roster down to maybe 80. Yes, there's been conversation of having different groups come in at different times. But at the end of the day, when games are played, when people are hitting each other for an average of 60 times a game, then you have to have some kind of answer to say, what will happen? Will the season be canceled? Will the season be postponed or delayed? And those are the conversations that we had yesterday. We're going to have them today, and we're likely going to continue to have them until we come up with a solution.
And Sam, one of the other portions of this that you mentioned is the discomfort around all this. You mentioned the idea of pushing back the start of the season. For some players, there might not be a comfort level with any of this. So where is the conversation around the idea of players who may want to opt out for their own concerns about dealing with the virus and trying to play through this?
Yeah, that's one of the toughest parts when you have a team, a league of 2,000-plus individuals trying to come to an agreement. Similarly, in 2017, when we were deciding, do we take a knee as a team? Do we stand? Do we lock arms during the conversation about social justice and during the national anthem? And I write about this in the book as well, about this idea of trying to get everyone on the same page. As a rep, I have my personal opinions, but as an executive committee member, as a player who represents the rest of my team and the league, I have to take their opinions in mind. And so even though I sit here and say the game should be delayed or maybe even canceled, there's a large contingent of players that say, hey, I need to play. And here's why. If you cancel the – and I'm not even talking about a season. I'm talking about the preseason, right? If you cancel the preseason, now all of a sudden these guys who may have had a chance to make the team, now they have no chance. Now they're cut immediately. Right? So there are these guys that say, I want to take that risk. I think the players should be able to decide what risks they do and don't want to take. And those are the conversations that we're having. Opt-out clauses, whether it's because you have a medical background or whether it's because you just choose to opt out. We're talking about tolling contracts. So you pause it now, you can pick it up next year. These are the different conversations that we need to get figured out before any football is played.
Sam Acho joining us now, a fourth-round pick back in 2011 by the Cardinals. Last team he played for was the Buccaneers last year. Committee for the Players Association. As far as testing, and I agree with you that the player safety and the testing procedure – it needs to be, you know, of utmost importance. Because, Sam, this is really kind of an outlier of what we're all going through and kind of feeling our way through. I'm curious, you mentioned WNBA, NBA, even hockey. They're all going to be in a bubble. Major League Baseball is not. The Bundesliga is not. Have you guys and or the league used or looked at those other leagues that are going to play it like you guys are as kind of a template of how they're testing?
That's a great question, and here's the problem with the premise. The problem with that premise is that if another league, let's say breakouts occur in the MLB or Bundesliga, and let's say their seasons get canceled, the NFL is not going to follow that model. The NFL's desire is to play games. I think a lot of Americans want to watch football. And so there's this mindset of we are going to find a way to fit the coronavirus into our football schedule. I think that mindset should be flipped. I think we should be trying to fit our football schedule within the confines of the coronavirus. And I think that's the discussion that needs to happen. Yes, we're looking at other leagues, but it's almost like we're looking at them through our rose-colored lenses of saying, this is going to happen one way or another. And I think when it comes to bargaining, when it comes to trying to come to an agreement, when it comes to trying to get everyone not necessarily on the same page, but moving forward together in the right way, I think those are conversations, honest conversations you have to have rather than just trying to fit it fit your league into the middle of a pandemic.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz and Trey Wingo sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. We're talking to Sam Acho, former Texas linebacker, NFL Players Association executive board member. Also has a book coming out called Let the World See You. You can pre-order that at samachobook.com. So, Sam, I find it interesting. I mentioned your Texas background because one of the things we've been trying to figure out on this show is how college football should work in this. We all work a lot in that space and trying to figure out, as somebody that's dealing with negotiations from a professional side, how do you see the college football world specifically and how they should be handling COVID-19?
Yeah, well, the college football world is in a little bit of a different world than the NFL, and here's why. Obviously, the NFL is about making money. I get that, and it's about entertainment. But college football is even in a tougher spot because look at the Alabamas, the Texases, the USCs of the world. Their football program not only provides money for their cities and states, but it also helps run the other schools' sports programs. And so without Alabama football, without USC football, Texas football, it's hard for other sports to really survive and thrive. And so I think what we're going to see in college sports is we're going to see two things. One, obviously teams are going more towards a intra-conference schedule, so no out-of-conference games. But as we see more and more conferences start to cancel seasons, I think there's going to be no or very little college football. And I think that that's going to be a really big problem for not only universities, but athletic directors and boosters alike.
Again, the book is Let the World See You. You can pre-order at samachobook.com. While we're on the subject of college football, obviously Texas, your alma mater and all this, was the center of a lot of conversation around college football as the players on the team came out with a list of demands that they wanted, things that they wanted changed around the school. And Texas has come out with a sweeping plan to, as they put it, redefine campus symbolism. I trust you've had a chance to look at some of the things that Texas is talking about doing in response to that. Is it enough in your mind based on what the players were looking for?
Well, it is, and here's the reason why. Actually, I tweeted out a statement of support to the players when I first saw the list of demands and requiring the school to make change. And that tweet responded to a call from the athletic director, Chris Del Conte. We got on the phone and actually got a chance to sit and meet with the AD and also the players, not only football, but volleyball, golf, players from all different sports coming together, men and women, coming together and saying, this is what we want. And as far as that list goes, the players, the athletes, the student athletes got essentially all that they asked for. Now, yes, they would have liked the song to go 100%. There's no doubt about that. But when you come to a negotiation, once again, talking about it, bargaining with billionaires, when you come to negotiations, you got to say, man, what's a win for me? If I can get all of this and I may not be able to get this, I believe that's still a win. It's not a zero-sum game. And so I think that I do. Not only do I applaud the athletic director and the president for making changes, but I applaud those student athletes because they stepped into that meeting. They said, this is what we want. We are not budging. This is why we want it. And you need to come and sit at the table and make some decisions. And I think the school did a great job of doing that.
Sam Acho joining us. Sam, obviously, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your insight and your openness when it comes to talking about what you guys are fighting for from the Players Association. Before we let you go, I work with your brother all the time and have in my life. Can you give me some sort of embarrassing nugget? Like, he's too good-looking and too talented. There's got to be something I can say that will really help me embarrass him at some point. You got anything for me?
Well, it's funny because my last embarrassing story for my brother wasn't all that embarrassing. He just talked about how competitive he was when we were kids. He'd be the guy to throw the controller. He'd be the guy to toss the basketball when we were playing basketball. I will say this. Emmanuel is great on TV, and he's obviously great at what he does. But this guy takes no nonsense, and if you've worked with him, you know that he takes no nonsense. He'll give you the side eye in a minute, in a heartbeat, and you'll feel like, oh man, I thought we were cool. What happened? And so, if I'm the guy who's laughing and smiling and joking, he's the guy who's in your face, no nonsense, get the job done. I want to see it done. I want to see it done well.
Yeah, that's the truth. I've seen that look when I hosted College Football Live with them. Sam, we appreciate it. Good luck on the book. Thanks so much for coming on with us today and giving us your insight.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Look forward to being back on soon.
Golic and Wingo brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Guys, there's a lot of interesting in what he just talked about, because what you've got is somebody from the Players Association telling us that he thinks postponement is the right answer, and you know they're worried about safety and testing.
I think that and there is room by the league to push, because you can push the Super Bowl, so they can give themselves probably a couple of weeks if they need to. And, you know, listen, if you can get away with that, and that's the worst thing that happens, is you push the season, still get it all in, but just push it a couple weeks, I think you take it and run with it and be thankful for it. You would actually hope that's the only change that would be. I don't know if that's the truth or not. I know we talked about, the doctor saying 6 weeks of workouts before a preseason game. Okay, I mean, I get it, but I still think you can use the preseason games as a bit of leverage, because 4 weeks, if you're 4 weeks, even though, listen, at some point you got to be a pro and be working out on your own. That's the thought process now of these guys. Then you get together and now you start working together as a team. I still think if you're working together as a team for 4 weeks and then you play one preseason game, that's if the season were to start on time. If you were to push the season, then you can get your 6 weeks in of practice, maybe with a preseason game, and start the season a little late if you want.
Yeah, I think I look at all of this and just it's a continual reminder that those are all things, and you certainly have a different perspective on this, because when you were playing college football and in the NFL, it was less of a year-round model than it is now for everybody. But relative to what these guys are used to, you have had nothing resembling the normal offseason. No. All the time they normally would have had together, all the time they would have had to have access in a lot of cases too. We've talked about this with the NBA players, the training facilities that they're used to, the ability to go out and do a lot of things. Hell, we've even seen the kind of public pressure and shaming associated with players trying to get together and work out together like they normally would in all of this. So once you've removed all that normalcy, I understand the fear around, all right, like, we understand the coronavirus fears in all of this, but me going out there and popping my Achilles, trying to get back to full contact drills much too soon in this process when I haven't had any of the normal movement patterns built in that I usually have leading up to this, that's a very understandable and real fear when it comes to the ramping back up process here and trying to get ready. That's why I keep asking guys, what did you feel like you needed to get ready? Because I feel like we have to have that and then some, because none of this has been normal, and whatever people were able to do in the past, it's what you've become accustomed to now, and we've completely broken that rhythm.
If there's a concept of delaying the NFL season, and that's what the Players Association seems to be thinking is the safest solution, I don't think anybody's doing more cartwheels for that than college football. Because let's be clear, if they delay the season, the draft is likely to be delayed. And one of the biggest constraints holding college football against the spring is the fact that the NFL seems to have no interest in moving the draft. So a delayed NFL season actually becomes a benefit as well to college football as they try to figure out how to navigate, if they need to navigate, to the spring.
Yeah, let's be clear. There is no like partnership or working together there. It is just what the NFL will allow you to do if you're college football in that regard.
College would just hope it would work out in their favor without any real work from the NFL in that. I don't know where this is going to go. That seems like a viable solution, though, especially when we're, right at 2 weeks when camp is supposed to be penciled in. If you guys can't even agree on what's going on. Now, you do have 2 weeks, and deadlines spur the most action, so you can see something getting done quickly, and it has no effect on players. Players are supposed to be, however they can be, working out now anyway, so that's the talk going on to be between union and league. That doesn't affect players that should be working out and being ready at this point, but it does seem like a viable option. The first thing to be done is let's just push everything.
Well, and I can say it because even the working out now leading up to it, what we've seen, and this is where the outside world kind of dictates, as Sam said, the virus sort of dictates what's possible in this. Remember, at the beginning, we dealt with the shutdown of a lot of gyms and places where guys would be able to work out.
Right.
We're dealing with some of that again right now, as California and other places are forced to reclose this. Places where guys, whether or not that's the team they're with, could have off-season homes, could live in the rest of their lives. So as you look at California, Texas, Florida, Ohio, all these places where you might be affected, it may affect your ability to train leading up to this, to be as ready as you'd like to be.
But in fairness, that's what the owners are standing back saying, hey, a delay, how do we know that we're, because we thought we were through the closures, right? And everything was getting better. Now everything's getting worse. There's no assurance, as we've constantly heard from owners and commissioners, there's no assurance that a delay means the numbers will actually get better. I understand that that means that if the numbers are getting worse, they shouldn't be playing anyway.
Right, correct, right.
But,
yeah.
But that is the argument. It's like, hey, get it in while we can, whatever that actually may mean.
And that is the central crux of this that Sam said. The virus should dictate the terms
and not
the other way around. When you try and force a square peg into a COVID hole, bad things tend to happen.
Golic and Wingo presented by Progressive Insurance. With more than 30 unique coverage options available, Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. We'll obviously keep our eyes on this over the course of the next few weeks. And I say that because I think everybody has to understand that even with another call with the Players Association today, I don't think we're going to find out that there's swift action on this.
No.
You know, when Sam says it's the beginning of the negotiation.
You talk about getting on the same page. We just want them all out of the same book right now. And then we'll work our way to the right chapter and then the right page.
It's a choose your own adventure in 2020. Yeah. I just keep picking the wrong hallway every single time.
I tell you what, a great sports night last night, no doubt about it.
And Wingo.
What a day, what a show, what a time.
One, two, three, four.
First, we got to do a little thing we like to call over-under.
Over-under.
You guys know the game. Yeah. It's pretty self-explanatory.
You know, I hate to be a downer.
Okay.
I'm going to take the under there.
Oh, Trey.
Hammer the over.
Over-under.
Too much of a coward to put your opinions on tape? Wow.
With Golic and Wingo.
Here we go.
Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Blue Emu. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backaches, strains, sprains, and even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink.
Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic. Mike Golic Jr. And gentlemen, it's time to have a little bit of Vegas fun.
It is time to have a little bit of Vegas fun. I almost had a little bit of Mark Schlereth fun who joined us earlier. As I said, you won't stink on here. The Siri on my Apple Watch picked that up and almost called stink.
Wow, how
Mark Schlereth
that?
In that one. So we almost got a double dose of stink in here, but instead we get one solid shot at over under on here. Pretty self-explanatory, as the handsome gentleman said in the rejoin. So I will give you some numbers, and we will make some decisions in this one. And Jason, I want to start with you. Over under 5.5 rings for one Patrick Mahomes. Remember, he joined SportsCenter and mentioned that he is chasing Tom Brady. I believe he joined Nicole Briscoe on SportsCenter. Said he's chasing Tom Brady's mark of 6 rings in all this one. So over under, is he catching the GOAT?
No, that's an under. I mean, anytime I got to take over under and only one player's done it and it's the greatest, I mean, I'm taking the under on this one. And let's acknowledge the fact that while I think the Chiefs are clearly the best team in the NFL this year and they've got a little window here, there is a middle of the contract where they'll have some salary cap things they got to negotiate. They got to figure some things out. Plus, if I believe he's going to get 6 in the next 12 years, then I need to get like a weekend job so I stop watching football, because watching my beloved Raiders is not going to be fun.
This is an easy under for me. One guy has done this. I mean, I don't care how much you love, you know, Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. That's a tall, tall task. I easily take the under, and I would be stunned if you didn't either, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, again, on this one, it's safe to bet the under. Even with Patrick Mahomes, who we can expect. Again, I've said, you don't need to have realistic expectations for the season.
Right.
That's dumb. Expect the unrealistic from him in this one. But this is team dependent. Like I said, I'd be more comfortable betting an over related to Patrick Mahomes' MVPs than I would Patrick Mahomes' team winning the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Because that's such a difficult thing for anyone to pull off in this situation right here. All right, over under. There we go. Thank God we got some music on here. I was getting very freaked out doing that with no music bed on this. Over under. Let's stick with rings. Rings plus minus. The Stu Gott stat. Giannis career rings. Over under 3. Be the same number as LeBron James. A bit more of an accessible number.
Right.
The NBA, again, the world of rings judging, you know, your worth in the NBA is a metric we can question, but it is one where LeBron James is not on the high end with this, with 3 rings. Do you think Giannis catches that?
Kobe won 3 of his titles from ages 21 to 23. Jordan, 3 titles from 28 to 30. I think he can get there. I mean, in this day and age when you can kind of work your way to a team with other stars or have stars join you, we don't know where it's going to be, like with him in Milwaukee or if he'll be somewhere else, but I'll go over on this.
That's an interesting point, because we have the same logic, and it's the reason I go under. I think they have a great shot at the championship this year. I think I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Milwaukee win it. And I think he's going to end up in Milwaukee long term if that happens. But the way player movement works so much in the NBA, it's just hard for me to see another team in the East not rising, especially when you start looking at the talent in the league that's under the age of 24. It's just right now it feels so stacked that we're going to see a bunch of guys win a few titles here and there.
I'm going to reset the over-under at 3.5 because I think he might actually tie. I think think 3 is a doable number. I don't think he's going to get more. But you think about it, just timeline with this. Giannis is what, 25 years old?
25, yes.
25 years old. So you look at that situation, just the timeline for this. LeBron, while he is great now, probably isn't going to be around in another five years on all this. So Giannis is in theory going to get a time period where LeBron James is no longer a part of this league. Steph Curry and that crew are even going to have an age a little more. Kawhi Leonard, all the people that are stoppers in so many ways on this. You're going to talk about him probably direct compete with like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, that wave of stars, where at that point, Giannis is probably going to have a much better claim to the best player in the league, bar none, with little competition.
Can you imagine the excitement for Bucks fans that have waited this long, and now all of a sudden we're talking about how many rings can he win? Woo!
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know what? Again, fingers crossed, because we know those rings could come somewhere else. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, in for Trey. Let's go over under Clemson losses at 0.5.
Oh my God,
Jason.
I'm gonna.
That's assuming they play a full schedule other than Notre Dame.
Other than Notre Dame, who
won 11 games. Only one team on their schedule had 9 wins last year, and that was Virginia, who also played in the ACC championship game.
So we're just saying regular season here, right? So we're not including any possible playoff. Or are we taking the playoff? Well, this one's tough for me because I don't think Clemson's not going to lose a game in the regular season to me. So they're undefeated in the regular season. But I still think Ohio State is going to turn out to be the best team in all the land this year. So that one's tough for me. I'll take the under, though. If I got to bet on somebody, I'm betting on Clemson.
If it's regular season, I'm definitely going under on this for sure. I mean, what are they, like 16-0 in the last 16 games of the ACC? I know the tough one would be Notre Dame. But they're tough to bet against right now. They have the best player in the game and Trevor Lawrence running the show. So I go under.
Yeah, I would. Oh, so do we decide? Are we saying regular season for this?
No, we're keeping playoff. We're putting playoffs in too. Make it.
We're gonna put playoffs in too. I'll take the over on this one. I'm very interested what the offense is gonna look like. You lose a couple of guys on that offensive line. You obviously bring Travis Etienne back, who's going to be one of the best running backs in college football, but that receiving attack, no T. Higgins, Justin Ross out for the year after that surgery, it's going to be a different-looking group. And so I'll say maybe on the top end, because a team like Ohio State might come back with a little more consistency on that offense, maybe I'll give them, but I don't feel great about it.
If this is the whole season, including championship, I'm going over then.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Over under Tiger Woods majors this year. In honor of Tiger's return to the tour this season, let's already talk about how many majors he might win. Let's set it at 0.5. So does Tiger get one this year?
I have to go under. I mean, he's just not going to be consistent play this year, right? Everything is kind of moved around as well. I'd love to see it again. I would love to see him pull it off. I mean, my God, him winning the Masters last year was just unbelievable. But I don't see it happening.
Tiger Woods' next win will be his 83rd career win. He would pass Sam Snead for the all-time mark. Stats incredible. Brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. I take the over simply because I need nice things right now.
I'm going to take the over because I was the one that was cautious and doubted when Tiger came back originally off his injury hiatus. And then I realized it was much more fun being a part of the joy. So I'm not going to bet the do not pass line on this one. I'm going to ride with the table.
This has been the best of Golic and Wingo podcast. You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or just ask your smart speaker to play Golic and Wingo. Plus, you can check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.